What's up, guys? This week, Neil deGrasse Tyson chimes in on the billionaire space race. We asked, does being cold make you taller? We dive into the world's happiest and saddest countries and ask whether coffee is another drug that could help you ward off COVID. Massive news from this week is that the thrill-seeking billionaire Richard Branson has flown to space with his company Virgin Galactic. Branson wasn't supposed to fly until later this year, but decided to go earlier after hearing that his competitor, Jeff Bezos, is flying in his own rocket next week. Branson denies competing in a space race with Bezos, but isn't it a bit hard to deny? Don't you think? Especially when Bezos went to Twitter straight after the flight to list all the ways in which his company flight would be better. See, Blue Origin, Bezos' company, believes it's superior because it flies above the Kármán line, the internationally recognized frontier of space at 100 kilometers in altitude. The Virgin Galactic flight didn't quite get there, only reaching 86 kilometers, which invited Blue Origin to suggest that Branson's astronauts aren't the real deal. Do you think this is an important detail, or is it just men arguing over length like always? If you look on social media, you'll see a lot of negative comments about the flight and Branson himself, saying that now is not the right time to be spending millions on joyrides to space, but a time to be spending that money on fixing problems on Earth. But as Neil deGrasse Tyson explains, it's important because these companies are making advances in the engineering and design of spacecraft. According to our mate Neil, there's no doubt that we'll have space tourism in the near future, and this is just the beginning of a new industry. Virgin Galactic already has more than 600 reservations for prospective space tourists, with tickets initially costing $250,000 a pop. Blue Origin is waiting for Mr. Bezos' flight before announcing its ticket prices. How much would you be willing to pay for a ticket? The Netherlands, Denmark, Norway, Estonia, and Iceland. What do they all have in common? What about Indonesia, Bolivia, the Philippines, and Peru? Well, on average, in the first group, you'll find the tallest people in the world, and in the second, you'll find the shortest. Any idea of why? You have 3 seconds. It's heat, or lack of it. We all know that over the past million years, we've been getting taller and growing bigger brains, but obviously some populations are taller than others. Why is it the case? Researchers recently combined data on more than 300 human fossils in the Homo genus and found a strong link between temperature and body size. They observed that the colder the climate, the bigger the humans. A bigger body produces and retains more heat because its mass is large relative to its surface area. Any biologists out there will know this as Bergman's rule, and this is the reason that polar bears, for example, are bigger than brown bears who live in warmer climates. Although it's not surprising, it's interesting to see that in this respect, our evolution isn't that different from other mammals. In terms of our brain size, however, it's not that simple. The researchers found that brain growth was linked to stable temperatures, as stable temperatures allow for stable diets and nutrition. Yes, our climate may be getting warmer, but researchers say that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to shrink, so don't worry. How do you think humans are going to evolve from now on? Do you think we'll get smaller brains due to our TikToking? Next up, I'm gonna just put you on the spot. Are you happy? It can be a complex question to answer. Happiness is generally understood as having enough money to cover basic needs and wants to be able to live a comfortable life. But the most concise report on global happiness, the World Happiness Report, also considers intangible aspects such as social support, freedom to make life choices, generosity, and a perception of government and corruption. The 2021 report was just released, and this year there was a focus on how COVID-19 affects quality of life. The report also strives to describe and evaluate how governments all over the world have dealt with the pandemic and gives a good write-up to the Asia-Pacific region, which had more success in suppressing COVID than other regions. This year, the average happiness score was 5.5 out of 8, which is a marginal improvement from the previous report, which isn't too bad considering the pandemic. Finland came out on top again with a massive score of 7.8. So we want to know what country you're from and how your country fared in the report. We're pretty stoked that Australia scored well, but bloody New Zealand had to beat us this time. We can't forget that the report also lists grit, prior social connections, exercise, and having a pet, all in helping people during COVID, as did gratitude and volunteering. Our new Think Inc. Academy course, How to Be a Stoic, Ancient Wisdom for a Happier Life, will help you discover a guide to a more happy, fulfilling, and tranquil life. Don't worry, fluency in ancient Greek is not a prerequisite. Speaking of happiness, there is one substance that makes a lot of people in this world happy as Larry when they wake up in the morning. Coffee! Yes, it's a hell of a drug that has many of us addicted without even realizing it. At least that's what Michael Pollan said in his recent appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast. In the interview, Michael says he went off coffee for 3 months, and that the first coffee after that was like a psychedelic experience. He was truly high. Michael goes on to explain the history of coffee consumption and how it came along with the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason. Coffee imports to England also came around the time of the Industrial Revolution, when people started working more overnight shifts, and coffee freed us from the rhythms of the sun, as he said. So yes, coffee is addictive, but it's also got some positives. As Michael mentions, it's the biggest source of antioxidants for the average American, which is also a sign of how little vegetables are being eaten. And studies have shown its positive effect on some types of cancer. But something that really caught our eye this week was a study published in the Nutrients Journal, which shows that habitual coffee consumption of one or more cups every day is associated with about a 10% decrease in the risk of contracting and getting sick from COVID-19. The scientists believe that this is probably thanks to its antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties. The study also found that consuming more veggies and less processed meat had an immunoprotective effect. Peter Singer would definitely be in support of that, and don't forget that he will be in a capital city near you next month. Or if you're too far away, you can attend our virtual event. The link to buy tickets is in our bio. Lastly, guys, don't forget to register for The Great Awakening, Politics as the New Religion. Learn about the polarized political movement we find ourselves in by exploring how religion, politics, conspiracy theories, and human self-awareness now intermesh. And we've just announced two really exciting courses starting soon. One is How to Be a Stoic, Ancient Wisdom for a Happier Life, and the other is On Effective Altruism. You can register your interest now because there's only 30 spots available. In the meantime, have a great week, guys. See you next time.